I am so happy to be giving this video on one of my absolute favorite topics in the whole world, and that is the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God that will transform you. This isn't just, oh, God loves you. What I'm going to be sharing with you today, and what we know here at Catholic Truth, is the life-transforming love of God. It's literally life-altering. It's literally life-changing. It's amazing in every way. And too many Catholics and other Christians are afraid to approach God because of their sin, or because they failed God, or because they continue to sin over and over and over again. How many Catholics have not gone to confession in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years because they're afraid of God's wrath. They're afraid that God's mad at them. They're afraid to approach God because they did one or two sins that were really bad and they're too embarrassed about it. They're too ashamed of it and they won't even approach God. Well, in this video, you can throw all of that away because we are going to share how wonderful God is, how good God is, and this just isn't a theory in our minds. We know this here at Catholic Truth personally. We've lived it. The people who work with us, it's transformed us, and it's amazing and life-changing. I remember hearing a story about a man who went to confession, and he hadn't been to confession in 40 years. And he went up to a priest, and the priest had just become a priest that day. Like, it was his first time ever becoming a priest. And the priest felt his garments being tugged, and he turned around and he saw a man there and he said, "Father, can I go to confession?" And the priest said, "Sure. How long's it been?" And the man said, 40 years. And the priest was, "What?" I'm just kidding. He didn't say that at all. The reality is that the priest said, "Come on in, no problem whatsoever." And the man had written down all his sins. Can you imagine how many sins you would have after 40 years? 40 years of sin and guilt, carrying around that 1,000-pound weight of a heart that you have inside you, of all that guilt for 40 years. Oh my gosh. So he wrote it all down, and he was in there for over an hour just confessing everything to God through the priest. And at the end of the confession, this is what he heard. Nothing. He didn't hear anything. And he thought that the priest maybe fell asleep because he had been there for a while, or perhaps he left because he was so bad and he heard too many sins and he didn't want to have anything to do with it anymore. But the reality is the priest didn't say anything because he had come out of the confessional, come around to where this man was kneeling and praying and confessing his sins, and he pulled back the curtain and he opened up his arms. And the man just looked at him and started to cry. And he got up and he hugged the priest because the priest was asking for a hug. And he hugged that man so tight and he just kept patting his back. And he just said two words to the man: "Welcome home." Welcome home. Not, "You idiot. How could you have waited 40 years? Oh, you sinner. Don't you ever do that again. Do you know how mad God is? Do you know how much God doesn't like you?" No, he didn't say any of that. All he did, the man bawled. He cried on the priest's shoulder, and the priest just patted his back and said, "My son, welcome home." And the man just cried even harder. But that's the love of God in a nutshell. That is what God is going to say to you. That is what God's going to say to you. Every time you come home, every time you come back to confession, every time you come back from your sins and you repent to God, you put a big smile on his face. You put a huge smile on his face, and he's so happy that you've returned to him. So many people think that they have to be perfect to get to God. They have to do this or do that just the right way for God to like them, for God to be happy with them. God's way over there at the finish line, and we're stuck here in the filth of our sins. And until we get there and we become better and purer and holier and more pleasing to God, then he's really not pleased with us. He hates our sins, and he hates the fact that we're stuck in them, when in reality, we've screwed it all up in our minds. The reality is God, yes, hates sin, but he doesn't hate us. He loves us, and many conflate the two. God hates sin because sin brings us away from him and can bring us to hell, and it scares God to death that he might lose us for all eternity. So yes, he hates Satan, and he hates sin, but oh man, does he love us. Does he love you with an unconditional, with an unconditional, unfickle love. He loves you. That's why every time you go to confession or confess your sins to him, if you go to your room tonight and you get down on your knees and you bow before God and just start to really confess your sins, he's going to open his arms and his heart and his love to you. He doesn't want to hold your sins over you. He's not like our parents or our teachers or our boss holding our sins, holding our sins or our nose in the poop, in the filth. No, he's not lording it over us. He actually just wants to get rid of our sins so he can get back to the relationship with us. It's kind of like being in a fight with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend. Many people who are unhealthy want to just fight it out and be right. But people who are truly healthy, they just want to get it separated so they can come back to loving each other. And my wife and I know that some of our biggest fights that we've worked through, we've become stronger in our love with each other. We felt closer, more intimate, and more secure with each other because we just got those things past us and we came back to what's truly important, the relationship. And that's what God wants from you. You, your heart, your mind, your soul, your very self. He loves you. He doesn't just love you, he's in love with you. And you remember the story? There's a story in the Bible about a woman. Some people may say, yeah, but I've done really bad things, Brian. I've been a horrible, bad person. I've done things that I can't even step into church because I would be struck by lightning. I've actually heard several people say that in my life, and it's so sad. People will ask me to pray for them, and I say, well, okay, I'll pray for you, but why don't you pray for yourself? And they'll say, well, because God doesn't like me, or God's mad at me, or I've done some really bad things, and I can't approach God. But nothing can be further from the truth. In the Bible, Jesus tells the true story of In the Bible, Jesus tells the story of a parable. In the Bible, Jesus tells the story of the good shepherd, where he has 100 sheep, and he leaves those sheep for one. One sheep ran away. One sheep went astray. The 99 sheep, he said, were good. Those are the ones who are faithful, who pray, who go to church, who do the things that they're supposed to do, who have a relationship with Christ. But then there's that one sheep, and that one sheep went astray, and he did all of these bad things. And what does the story say? It says that Jesus went after the sheep. He left the 99 sheep and he went after the one sheep because he loved him so much and he wanted him to return. Notice he didn't let him rot in his filth. He didn't judge him for his sin. Notice Jesus didn't say that he just let him go off a cliff. No, it's the 99 sheep many times that judge those people. Oh, look what they did. Oh, they dress like this in church. Oh, they act like this. Do you know what they did? They call themselves a Christian. We judge that sheep. But Jesus goes and rescues that sheep. And there's a picture, it's an artistic portrayal of it, but there's a picture where the sheep fell off a cliff and he's holding on to the only stick that's holding him from dropping 1,000 feet down. And Jesus is holding on to a little bush. And he's reaching with his hand over the cliff. Hopefully the branch of the...
Dude, stop. Terrible. Clearly, it was right about here.
And what is the story? Oh, So Jesus is hoping the branch doesn't break, but he's risking his life and putting his whole body over the cliff just to save this one sheep, the sheep that other Christians judge in their self-righteousness. He is putting his life at risk. And in fact, if you look at the cross, he even died for that one sheep because he loves it so much. And Jesus said that when he finds this sheep, he puts the sheep on his shoulder and he walks back toward the path of heaven. So no matter how far you've walked away from God, no matter what sins you've done, maybe the path is over here and you should be walking this way. Maybe the path is over here and you should be walking this way. But in reality, you're walking that way. You're not even close to the path. You're off in some muddy waters or some forest somewhere. When Jesus finds you, it says he, with a big smile on his face, is going to put you on his shoulder and he is going to carry you personally toward heaven because he loves you that much. It's the devil who tells you that you can't approach God. It's not God. God tells the opposite. In fact, Jesus tells another story in the Bible about a woman who loses an expensive, precious coin that's worth a lot of money. And when she realizes she loses it, And when she realizes that she loses it, what does she do? She turns over all of the cushion covers. She moves all of the couches. She turns the house upside down, Jesus says, until she finds that precious, expensive coin. And it's the same thing. Jesus said he will do the exact same thing for you. He's going to look for you. And it's the prodigal son all over again. Two sons. One was good, one was not. One went and womanized and spent all his dad's money and did all of these bad things and lived a life of luxury and sin. And then he came back home after he was eating with the pigs, after he was in the mud, after he's like, oh my gosh, my dad's servants get treated better than I do. I'm just going to go be one of my dad's servants. At least I'll have food to eat. At least I'll have a little dignity. And so he goes home to his father to apologize and ask him to be his servant for the rest of his life in penance for what he did. But the Bible says that his dad had been looking for him, keeping an eye out for him. And when the son returned, he ran to him. He ran to him. With tears in his eyes, he threw his arms around his son and hugged him. And he commanded a big robe to be put on him and to be fed, and he killed the best calf in his entire... And he killed the fatted calf and had the biggest celebration imaginable for this man. And the other son was so indignant that he was a sinner and he slept around and he was womanizing and sleeping with prostitutes and doing all of these other things that were abominable. And he wasn't even going to go in the house. But the father said something amazing. He said, my son was once dead, but now he is alive, and we need to celebrate with that. That is the love of God in a nutshell, that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what sins you've done. What matters is that you want to come home. What matters is that you want to come back to the very heart of Jesus himself. He didn't die for nothing. He didn't die just so you could rot in your sins. He died to forgive your sins, no matter how big, no matter how many. He died on the cross for all of them. Think about a weightlifter. Think about a weightlifter for a second. If a weightlifter wants to impress a woman, if there's a man who's a weightlifter and he wants to impress a woman going by, does he just lift the bar? Or does he try to put as much weight on each side, many plates on each side, and then try to bench press that and be like, yo, check me out. Look how much I can lift. And in the same way, God wants to impress you. He wants to show you how much he loves you. He wants to show you how strong he is, in the sense that you could say, okay, God, here, I have a few sins and I go to confession every week and I don't do that much, but here are my sins. And God will be like, no problem. I can bench that bar. Piece of cake. But if you come to God and said, I've done a lot of things. I have done things that I can't even speak out loud. God will say, please load them on the bar. Let me show you how strong I am. Let me show you how easy it is for me to forgive your sins. Let me show you. It's easy. Saint Therese said, if you piled up all the sins of the world, I mean, think about all the sins in your state, in your life, in your country, in the world, and you pile them up, they're going to reach outer space. But if you put that same pile next to the love and mercy of God, St. Jerez said it won't even equal one drop in the ocean of God's divine mercy. It won't even equal one drop in the ocean of the divine furnace of his love. That one drop, if you throw it into the furnace of his love, will be incinerated in a second. So take all the sins of the world, and they will be incinerated in 1 second. Take all the sins in your life, which are a fraction, take all the sins of your life, which you can't even measure next to all the sins of the world. How much smaller is that in the ocean of God's mercy, in the divine furnace of his love? God will forgive your sins, which you think are so big, and the devil convinces you are so big. God will forgive those in seconds. It's easy for him, and he wants to. That's the biggest thing, is God wants to forgive you. God doesn't want to hold this over you. All God wants is your good. He knows that you carry around a huge heart all day long, and guilt, and fear, and worry, and anxiety. And he said, I sent my son into the world, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He experienced worry and fear, and he experienced being betrayed by his friends. He experienced all the pain and suffering and being killed and beaten to death and abused. And he took your hell so you could have his heaven. And there's a saying that if you were the only one on this earth, Jesus would have still died for you, because he loves you individually that much. That is the love of God and nothing less. Anything that condemns you as a horrible person, that you can't approach God, is from the devil. Sure, the Bible says, and the saints say, that we should hate our sins, and we should reflect on them and think about, you know, really how weak we are and how poor we follow God. But we shouldn't let that lead us to despair. We should let that lead us to running toward God. And in fact, St. Therese said, if I had committed all the sins in the world and I had committed every atrocity, I would run with the greatest confidence, and I would leap into the arms of Jesus, knowing that he will catch me and burn those sins away in his divine love and mercy. And that is the love of our God, the love of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. I have a book on my shelf called Coming Clean. It's the story of a former drug dealer, a drug lord, third most wanted man on earth, Jorge Valdez. And he was making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for himself a month. And he was doing despicable things. And now he's a Catholic dad with 6 kids. He loves God. He salsa dances. He just loves his faith. And he's come back to the Lord Jesus. I know Zachary King. You may have heard of him. One of the top 10 Satanists in the world converted to become a Catholic. Are you really that bad compared to Zachary King or Jorge Valdez? I could name a lot of people who were in the devil's grip. If they died, they would be in hell in a second. And now they were in heaven. They, even though they haven't died yet, they're in God's good graces. They were saved by him, redeemed by him. Jesus cleaned them off, washed them. That's what healing does. That's what confession does. That's what asking for forgiveness does. Sure, I could go to my room and ask for forgiveness and God will forgive my sin. He'll forgive all my sins if I ask from the bottom of my heart and I repent and I promise never to do them again and I try to make a change in my life. But when you go to confession, you receive a special grace that you don't receive anywhere else, and you receive a special cleansing and healing. That's why it's called the sacrament of healing. And in fact, I remember a woman who I used to work with at church, and she hadn't been to confession in over 20 years because she did one sin that she just could not tell God or a priest. And so week after week, I asked her if she had gone to confession, and I would tell her about God's love and God's mercy. And finally, one day, I was able to convince her to go to confession. And I brought this lady over to the church. I said, I'll go with you. I'll be there before and I'll be there after. And I told her all about God's love. And she said, okay, I think I can do that, but I'm scared. And she was crying her eyes out even before she got there. This poor woman had felt guilt for years, and she didn't think she could approach God, even though she had the right heart set. She had the right mindset, one of sorrow, one of compassion, one of, I wish I didn't do that and I feel guilty about it. I'm sorry. And yet she didn't think she could approach God. So she went into confession crying. And what surprised me was that she came out crying just as hard. And I asked her, what's wrong? I said, what happened? Why are you still crying? I know you were afraid to go in there. Tell me about it. She said, oh, Brian, she said, I did go in crying because I was scared to death to approach God with my sins. But she's like, now I'm crying for a whole different reason because God forgave me. She said, I feel free. She said, I feel happy. She said, I don't have that weight anymore. She said, I've never felt like this in my whole life. She's like, I'm crying because I'm happy. And that is the power of God's forgiveness, the power of God's love. Likewise, I met this teenage girl and she did the same thing. She had committed these really big sins. And I said, well, what are your sins? And she actually told me. And I listened and I said, well, I don't think anything different of you. I don't judge you any different. And I know God wouldn't either. If I don't think anything different of you, the priest isn't going to, nor is God. God's infinitely more perfect than us. So go to confession. Confess these sins to God. So she went in there and she said she was going to confess sins, but she didn't know if she was going to confess this one bad sin. Even walking in, she didn't know she could do it. And then about 5 minutes later, the door slammed open to the confessional in the church and she yelled out, I did it! And at the top of her lungs, everybody in the church who were praying looked around at her and she forgot that she was in church because she was so happy. She said, sorry. She's like, I did it, Brian. I confessed my sin. I gave it to God. I got rid of it. She's like, I feel so free. I feel so happy. I feel like I could fly. She's like, it's gone. It's 100% gone and I feel free. That's what I want for you out there watching this video. If you struggle with sin, if you struggle with guilt, if you struggle with fear, it's not from God. It's from the devil. Or it's from record players of our family and our friends or our bosses telling us that we're not good enough, that we're not likable enough, that we're not lovable enough, that, you know, we can't approach this or that or do this or that. It's all negative programming. The reality is God's love. The reality is God on the cross, that Jesus chose to come to earth to die on the cross for you, to forgive all your sins anytime, anywhere. So if you need this message of love and mercy, here it is. Here, this is it. This is your invitation to come back to God. This is the invitation you've been waiting for. It's the sign you've been waiting for. God wants you to come back to Him, to know Him, and to love Him. I apologize that this video was so long, but I really wanted to pound in the love and mercy of God. I mean, if you want us to come to your church, this talk could be 45 minutes to an hour long. We have a full-length talk on the love, mercy of God. We have a full-length talk on the love and mercy of God and confession. So bring us to your church if you want that. But for this video, we tried to... But for this video, we tried to keep it shorter, but we still wanted to tell some of the great stories about God's love so that you can approach God. I want to hear in the comment section down below how God has freed you, how God has helped you, how God has made you come back to Him, and how you did come back to Him and you found forgiveness. Even if you don't feel forgiven in confession, even if you don't remember how to go, the priest can help you with that. But even if you don't feel forgiven, that's because Jesus took the punishment that was due to you. Yeah, you should be beaten, and I should be beaten for my sins perhaps, and maybe we should be whipped, I don't know, but the fact is Jesus let us give Him. Jesus gave us the whip, and they let us whip Him, and we scourged Him, and we tore off all His skin, and then He was nailed to the cross. Many people think that Jesus is a slave driver, and He's going to beat us and abuse us, but really, we abused and killed Him. He took our death, and He took our hell, so that you could have His heaven, and be there with Him in heaven. Don't miss it because you're afraid. Don't miss it because you don't want to approach God. Don't buy the lies. Approach God. Run to God. Jump in His arms and let Him love you back to health. Let Him love you and help you to become the person that He made you to be. Each and every time you fall, run to Him. He's changed my life 1,000 times. Thousands of times I've sinned and thousands of times he's forgiven me. That's why I love Jesus with all my heart. That's why I've given my life to him. That's why I've spent my life forming this company, building Catholic Truth, so we can amplify this message and tell it to the world. So please help us. Share this on your social media. Please give it to somebody who needs to know God's love. Maybe somebody who hasn't gone to church in many years or hasn't gone to confession in many years. Share this life-changing message with them. Let them know God's love for them. And please help us. Join us. We need about 100 people to give about $10 to $15 a month in order for Catholic Truth to keep proclaiming its message to the world. We need supporters. We need patrons. In this difficult corona time, we are struggling, and we need you, our YouTube family, our podcast family, our family that brings us in to help change souls and save lives. We need you to help. Just $10 a month. It's a pizza. It's a movie ticket. It's an expensive coffee. Please give $10 a month. Check out our Patreon down below. There's a link that says what we do. We'll send you a quarterly newsletter knowing all the work that... We'll send you a quarterly newsletter with all the work we're doing, the lives we're saving, the lives we're changing, and then you will have a hand in. So please subscribe to this channel so you get many more amazing videos like this. Please like it. Please, please give it a like right there. That little like button. We need you to like it. It's important. It's important for us so more people can see this video. And most of all, please pray for us and please pray for our work as we pray for you. God bless you.